This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shaoning together with Philip C. We're shifting our attention to all markets, actually, because they've regained their momentum when we compare this to a year ago. In the past week, actually, Brent crude surged past $80 a barrel for the first time in 3 years, although it has dipped slightly below that today. It's $78 per barrel. The fast recovery in demand as well as supply shortages are attributed to this price surge. And of course, Hurricane Ida that happened last month worsened the situation.
But you know, despite this supply-demand deficit, OPEC Plus maintains that their existing policy of gradual increases in oil output for the month of October will still hold. So the oil market isn't alone in the price surge, because gas prices are more than 100% higher year-to-date. And with a newly released IPCC report that signaled a code red for humanity, and the UN chief saying that this is a must sound a death knell of for oil and gas, how can policymakers decide between energy security and environmental sustainability? Also, are all of these price surges just transitory, or are they here to stay?
So for an outlook on this, we speak to Saleh Yilmaz, who's the oil analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Thank you for joining us this morning. Now, what is driving the overall rally in energy prices, and how long do you think this will continue?
So overall, I think we're looking at just continued post-pandemic demand recovery. And we have depleting inventories and, in many cases, constrained supply. I mean, looking at oil, for example, the gas to oil switching, especially in Asia, that we might see amid the surge in gas prices, the better refining margins, easing air travel restrictions, are all supportive for pricing. So I think a combination of good demand in general and constrained supply is really setting the stage for higher pricing. And again, for oil, we need to remember that OPEC is still in the driver's seat, though. So it's got the spare capacity, and I think it's a matter of timing about when they will respond to higher prices. So perhaps, unlike some of the other commodities, it's unlikely that we would see very high prices for very long for oil, because supply can respond. So the next meeting for OPEC, which again, as I said, is still on the driver's seat, is on October 4th, which I think will be an interesting one. And we will be looking to see the tone and the language by OPEC.
Do you see OPEC Plus increasing output sooner than anticipated, or will major oil suppliers remain cautious on the road to recovery?
I think it will depend on where prices are before this next meeting on October 4th. If the current momentum continues and we still do have Brent prices above $80 a barrel, then we may see increasing pressure from, their large consumers like China, India, and even the White House for the group to boost their output more than planned, earlier than planned. So far, we haven't heard anything specific, but again, prices above $80 a barrel is painful for these customers, so this might just be coming.
Saleh, Hurricane Ida seems to be causing a slow recovery in U.S. oil production. Now, how large is this impacting overall production, and when do you see supply actually normalizing?
So, I mean, last week what we heard was about 31 platforms still remained shut, and that was with a loss of almost 300,000 barrels of oil, which was on Thursday. So it seems it's still not quite over. And what we heard is overall, the storm wiped out about 30 million barrels, which I believe makes it the most destructive to the oil operators in 13 years. So, I mean, I'm sitting in Europe. I'm not an expert in the U.S. oil space, but I believe from what we hear is that normalization, a little bit more of normalization is expected in the next few weeks.
Gas prices are experiencing a surge as well. Are they correlated to oil prices? And will there be more upside to natural gas prices?
I mean, this is a very interesting space at the moment as well. And they are partly correlated because some gas contracts are still oil-linked. But also, I mean, these products have their own separate supply and demand dynamics. And at the moment, both happen to be rather constructive. When we look at Europe, where I think this has been the most visible, what we're looking at is, declining output, lower pipe imports into the continent, LNG cargoes going to Asia because there's been very good demand there. And we got higher gas demand overall for power generation and the surge that we saw in carbon prices in Europe. So I think these are all combining to give this almost unprecedented kind of momentum to gas prices. And we're looking at winter, which is just around the corner, a cold one with kind of seasonally higher demand and historically low storage levels, I think could risk further price surge. But I mean, when we look at Europe again, I mean, some things that could happen is pipe supplies from Norway could improve, and also the startup of Russia's Nord Stream 2 by the end of the year could also offer some relief. So it's just going to be a matter of whether these volumes can go up and whether it is a cold winter or not.
Now, on Tuesday, OPEC said that fossil fuel energy remains a mainstay in the economy and once again halting any investments. But with IPCC releasing its Code Red report and COP26 happening in November, would the broader transition to renewable energy be sped up or actually slowed down?
Look, I don't think this changes kind of the fact that more investment is necessary and coming in low carbon energy. And this is the trend that we continue to see. I mean, just yesterday, Total, one of the largest European oil majors, said about a fourth of its spending in the next 4 years will be on low carbon. But perhaps kind of the lack of supply and the shortages we're seeing now are a reminder that we need to be targeting demand as well as supply. And I think just demonizing the sector may actually end up being detrimental, as a certain level of investment is still necessary just to tackle the natural declines that we see in legacy oil and gas fields. So, and that would kind of help in energy security and help kind of bring a relatively orderly energy transition. But and if kind of investment in oil and gas is completely discouraged, then we kind of can get a shortage of supply while demand remains resilient. So then we could end up in an undersupplied market with elevated prices, and that's, of course, both for gas and for oil. But again, the writing is on the wall, I think, and emissions need to be tackled. But, I mean, all these events just ahead of, as you said, COP26 is kind of showing that the road to net zero is just unlikely to be completely smooth or predictable, and we just may see supply and demand shocks more frequently in the next couple of decades.
Thank you for your time. That was Saleh Yilmaz, oil analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, reminding us that the transition to renewable energy is not going to be a smooth one.
It won't be linear.
It won't be linear, and be prepared for volatile energy prices across the board. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.